I guess the biggest thing that is in my life is the fear of violence, the fear of coming out. I've come to a point now, and this is really frightening to me to be here, but I thought, I can't deal with living two lives and pretending that I'm one person to many people, and to a few select people, I'm who I really am, and I can talk about my feelings and the things I deal with in daily life. And so as I grow up and change, I'm trying to be more open and more honest with my life within certain limits. And I do have a personal philosophy that if gays and lesbians, that we do need to come out and our voice does need to be heard so that we can make changes for ourselves. And it's such a double-sided thing, because when we come out, we risk violence and we risk discrimination. But the longer that we stay hidden, those things are continuing. And so I'm really glad to be here, and I'm very glad that that the task force is in motion for this.
Thank you.
I appreciate your candor and your speaking out, Barb, and congratulate you for doing what you've done. I've got a question about the day that the police brought the 15-year-old boys into your home. Did you speak to them at that time about how you felt that was an inappropriate way to deliver an apology to you?
Did
you just feel that after the fact?
I was so shocked. It's like somebody knocked on my door, I looked in the peephole, and I saw the officer I'd been dealing with, and so I opened the door, and he brought the boys in, and then he said, they'd like to say something to you, and they apologized to me, and I said, I don't accept your apology, and they said, if there's anything I can ever do to help you, just let us know, and I just said, I don't accept your apology, and then the officer said something about prosecution. I said, I do want to prosecute. And then they left. And at that point, I was just so stunned that they were in my house. I didn't know what to do. And it really shook me up. But at that point, I didn't know.
Came to you later as you sorted things out.
Yeah, and the police were so rude to us that we had been, accusations had been made towards us so much. My roommate had gotten one of the notes and was really scared. And she didn't call the police until the evening. It's like I came home, and then she showed me the note and said, what should I do? And I said, well, call the police, you know. And they accused her that they basically interrogated her in our house saying, well, why didn't you call earlier? Why didn't you call when you get it? And, you know, kind of like that. And so we were already afraid of the police, that they were not treating us very kindly. And they accused us of egging the boys on by keeping calling the police, that we were just giving them attention, and therefore that's why they kept harassing us. And what we should do, one officer, and I do have his name written down at home, told me that what we should do is tack up a note on a door to ask these boys to please stop harassing us. And I just thought, I can't think of any other crime where you do that either. If somebody stole money from you, would you tack a note on your door and say, please don't steal money from us? It was very odd to me. So the whole thing was just handled so badly by the police department.
Did you force the question of prosecution or pressing of charges?
The farthest I got was to call around for lawyers, and legal aid did not take criminal cases. The lawyers I talked to said they probably won't prosecute because they're minors. And so the farthest thing I pushed was writing on my statement that I felt that they should be prosecuted and that crimes against women need to be taken seriously. And I didn't know where to go from there. And as far as my complaint with the police department went, by the time this was over, this went over many months, I was just so worn out and just so beat by that time, I just couldn't deal with it anymore. I just completely dropped it.
Other questions?
I'd like to follow up on this. You're a taxpayer?
Well, I've been on AFDC for about 6 years with my daughter. I've been going to Moorhead State, and I just recently have gotten a part-time job at a bookstore, and I'm looking for more work now.
The gist of my question was that perhaps I phrased it wrong. You're a citizen of Moorhead.
Right.
And I think that entitles you to certain expectations in terms of public servants. I would agree with you in terms of what you presented to us, that that situation was very badly handled, and it was handled badly at least in one arena, and that is when I sat in this room 2 or 3 years ago and heard incidents of hate crimes and heard that in similar cities around the state. One of the things we heard repeatedly, that most of the perpetrators of this were in fact young males. That sheds a little different light on letting boys be boys. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that your police department perhaps needs to take this issue a lot more seriously, since the very people they were dealing with were, in fact, most usually the perpetrators for these kinds of things. I'm sorry they did not act towards you in a more satisfactory way. I'd like to pursue one other point. This goes back to some of your earliest comments, Barb, about concern for your daughter and what she is learning in terms of diversity and respect for diversity and that sort of thing. Are you aware whether she is receiving any kind of attention in schools that recognize the diversity of American families these days?
She went to a preschool, which was Morehead State's preschool program. And at that point, I did come out to her teacher. He was a very understanding person. And so I did talk to him about it. And I've kind of let her know that if she might not want to say in school that mom likes women or something like that, because people might tease her or they might choose not to be her friend. So I've kind of left it up to her. And she's never come home saying that she's heard any negative comments, but she's never come home saying she's heard any positive comments about lesbianism or gay people either. So I've kind of let her know that it's up to her. She wants to tell people she can, but she might lose friends or she might run into a lot of problems if she lets people know.
I guess I would agree with that strategy largely, but also feel that once again you're a citizen and educational institutions have some obligation to appropriate and realistic training for your children as well as other people's children. And part of that, it seems increasingly, should be the recognition of, if not the respect for, a great diversity in family structures these days.
Right. When I was with my partner, I was with her for 2.5 years, and she and I did attend a lot of Dione's functions together, and we were very closeted at that time. So she lived in an unusual situation where she had two female heads of household, and that we pretty much considered ourselves her parents and the people that she could turn to. And so I know in kindergarten things were really hard for her. There was a lot of personal problems we were having, and that the instance of discrimination really compiled the problems that we were having at home, aside from, I don't know, just personal problems, then the violence issue, and Dione just had a very hard year at school.
That seems to me an additional argument for why the police should have acted differently.
Right,
situation.
And I did let him know that I had a small child and that I was concerned for her safety because she played in the yard in the sandbox and rode her bike outside. And so I stressed that to them too, but it didn't seem to make an impact on how they behaved towards us.
Thank you very much for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Stephen Spencer.
My name is Stephen Spencer. I will be a resident of Morehead again on Monday, and I'm currently a student at Morehead State University. I was last year's president of the 10% Society, and I'm also a member of the Morehead Host Committee for the task force here. And I'd just like to read a few of my prepared statement. I'm very tired of being defensive. In other forums, in other public speaking engagements, I've been forced to take a defensive stance against religious, psychological, sociological, biological, and ethical attacks on my right to live a free, self-directed, and self-fulfilling life as a fully equal member of society. But today, I will not be defensive. I view this right as elementary. The primary issue is not the defense of this right, but overcoming the barriers that prevent myself and others from exercising it. The primary issue is justice. In order that justice may be served, I offer the following as a partial list of deficiencies in the state of Minnesota that I feel must be corrected. They're very simple, very direct points. Number one, legal recognition of gay and lesbian partnerships. Non-gay couples have the option to become legally married, an option that is denied to gays and lesbians. To rectify this injustice, the state of Minnesota must provide gays and lesbians with this option, equal in accessibility and legal effect to non-gay marriages. Number two, explicit identification of same-sex rape as inclusive in existing criminal law. At the present, the status of same-sex rape is not precise under Minnesota law. Our legal system has evolved in such a way that non-inclusive laws are effectually exclusive. To protect its citizens, the state of Minnesota must include same-sex rape in criminal law. And this must be done in a manner other than the usual, which is simply to wait for a case to set precedent. Number three, statewide anti-discrimination legislation. The state of Minnesota must append sexual orientation, not preference, to all existing anti-discrimination policies and legislation. Number four, sexual orientation as a non-issue in custody. In due recognition that sexual orientation has no direct effect on parenting ability, the state of Minnesota must explicitly exclude sexual orientation as a selective criteria in custody disputes. Number five, education. I feel that it is as equally unfair to present children with exclusively non-gay stereotypes as it is to present them exclusively white stereotypes. The misrepresentation of sexual orientation is an implicit condemnation of gays and lesbians and eliminates the chance for positive self-awareness for those students who are gay or lesbian. To rectify this, public schools in the state of Minnesota must include homosexuality in the classrooms, not to teach children to be homosexual, but to teach them about homosexuality. As public institutions, the schools have a responsibility to all Minnesota citizens, including gays and lesbians. I know that these five deficiencies and more will eventually be corrected. I just don't know when. And in addition to being tired of arguing and defending, I'm tired of waiting. And I'm ready for any questions.
Thank you. I know what you mean when you say you're tired of waiting. Well, I spent 24 years as a public schools parent. I can tell you. Sometimes. I do have a question for you, though. I was interested in your comments about curriculum. And what would your vision be of the ideal curriculum?
Well, ideally, I would like to see another textbook revolution. There was a textbook revolution back in the early 70s in which other racial groups were included besides just whites. I would like to see another textbook revolution in which gay as well as non-gay relationships are expressed and demonstrated. Of course, given that we're only working with the state of Minnesota, that's not very realistic as a function or recommendation of the task force. But I'd see it being very feasible and necessary that some positive role models be given in the classroom. And in history, the history lessons seem to exclude homosexuals, or at least if there are homosexuals in the history lessons, that is not ever talked about. I think it would be wonderful when English students in the class of English are reading Walt Whitman if they also find out that he is gay, or was gay.
Did you go to a Minnesota high school? Are you Minnesota person?
I was born in Minnesota, but unfortunately my parents raised me in South Dakota.
Okay. In your high school, was there anything available that, were there books in the library? Was there any kind of support?
No, there was nothing. I grew up in a small town of about 3,000 people. There were absolutely no resources available, and I think Rebecca mentioned the first time she heard about lesbians was when she was in 11th grade. Well, I heard about faggots and dykes when I was in 4th grade through really bad jokes.
Mm-hmm. Would it have made a difference if, say, for instance, in your high school there had been a support group for gay and lesbian students?
Yes, it would have made a big difference.
I'm asking that because it happens that I work at a high school where we do have a support group for students, and it's turned out to be a very good...
Well, I've been aware of a national trend, or at least a trend in some larger communities, for example, in California and New York, to develop such programs within high schools. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's been a long time coming for that.
Ed?
Steve, was your church a help or a hindrance for you feeling that you were one of God's people?
I'll decline to make any comments about church and religion.
Okay. You had made a reference to religious harassment, or what you were being,
right.
You were tired of being defensive. I just
right.
thought I would follow it up.
And that's why I declined to make any comments.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd like to follow up on your fifth recommendation. Would you believe that it is a reasonable expectation of our educational institutions that they teach students and prepare them to live in the real world?
To the extent that such things can be taught, yes.
The substance of my question, I guess, is reflecting on your recommendation, that over a number of generations, I think we have become better in the educational system in recognizing the way the real world is out there, talking about that more forthrightly, preparing students to engage in the world the way it is, not the way we perhaps think it ought to be or once was. I think that in some schools, and I would be curious as to whether you would support this, that there is becoming an increasing emphasis on multicultural diversity. Is that something that you would support, and would you include gay lesbian people as one of the cultures that would be included in that?
I don't particularly agree with the classification as culture, but yes, I would agree with the inclusion in those studies.
Okay. One final question. Parents, I think most of us believe, have a right to remove their children from exposure to certain kinds of curriculum in which they are in disagreement or have moral considerations about. With the kind of curriculum changes that you're recommending, do you think it would be helpful to continue to allow parents that option, that if they felt strongly about homosexuality as being presented as part of what is in the real world, that they would have the option of their children not participating in that class or that session?
Yes, I would allow them to have that freedom. I think that the laws in our country do allow that people will be stupid and bigoted to a certain extent.
Thank you. I agree with you that perhaps we sometimes need to support people in that. Thank you.
Thank you. Connie Bender.
My name is Connie Bender, B-E-N-D-E-R. I'm from Rochert, Minnesota.
I'm sorry, where was that?
Rochert, Minnesota. Everybody says, where is that?
R-O-C-H-E-R-T.
Up until last year, we were residents of Fargo, our family was. We lived in this area for about 13 years, and before that, we lived in Minnesota. Even though I'm not a resident of this community now, I still belong to a group of parents, which is called PFLAG, Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. And I'm representing them today, as well as myself. There are a lot of parents in this community that you won't hear from, who basically have the same story that I do. And you won't hear from them because of the fear of the repercussions in the public setting, of being out and letting people know that they're very acquainted with this problem. As parents, we're rarely thought about when homosexuality is discussed. But as parents, we want the best for our children. We don't want them to be hurt or discriminated against because of who they are. We as parents are no different than any other parents. We want the same protections afforded our other children and the same human rights that everyone is entitled to. It was very painful when I learned of my son's gayness. I have two sons and a daughter. And the pain was caused mainly because of the prejudices and the lack of understanding that I possessed and that the community in general possesses. My tendency after learning was to keep quiet about it, out of fear of how people would view me and how they would treat my son. As I've learned more about homosexuality and gayness, I have become more and more comfortable and more willing to be open. I've learned that as parents, we go through an acceptance process much the same as what our children do. And it's very difficult in an intolerant society. My son lived here through most of his high school education. When we moved here, he was in ninth grade. He went through college here. And a year or so after college, he moved to Minneapolis. Basically, now I feel that the reason for his move was not because he didn't want to live here, but because he felt he would be more protected in a society that was more accepting of him. So he moved to Minneapolis, and since then, I've met many children from this area who now live in Minneapolis. I've met many people who have moved away from this area to a more tolerant community so that they can be who they are and not have to worry and not have to limit themselves to certain occupations, for instance, or to certain areas so that they can be themselves. And I've often thought about all the talented and educated young individuals who have moved away from this area for the same reasons. I believe it's natural for parents to want to protect their children. And every community in the United States needs an ordinance protecting individuals from discrimination based on sexual orientation, because this discrimination occurs everywhere. We need to give the parents of this community and all communities a strong message that their gay children are worth protecting. You talked of school being a place to learn to be able to accept your homosexuality. It was for my son. He has told me that he learned when he was in grade school, he always felt he was different than everyone else in some way, but in grade school he learned why or how he was different. But all of the things that he did learn were negative. They were things that he didn't want to be if that was the way society considered it. In high school, he tried to pretend that he was the same as everyone else and would bring home girlfriends, would go to the prom with a girl. After questioning him later, he said that he had a few friends in school who were tolerant, but by and large there was no place for him that he could be comfortable. College was the first place in a class on human sexuality that he felt he could accept himself the way he was. And that because of that course and the books he got from that course, I learned a great deal about sexuality. And my thought process has been completely turned around, and I have become the tolerant person that I feel everyone should be. We should be able to tolerate all different kinds of people. And we should be able to have protection for them on that basis, too.
How large is your PFLAG group here?
It's not very large. It's we get a different number each month, anywhere from 5 to 20. To me, that doesn't tell me that there aren't parents around here who have gay children, but there are parents who cannot bring themselves to be open about it, maybe even admit it to themselves, but it doesn't tell me that they're not here.
Mm-hmm. Other questions?
It sounds to me that you were very supportive of your son from a very early age.
I don't know. When I look back, I'm sure that there are many hurts that he suffered directly from me and my husband, simply because we didn't know any better. And coming from your parents, I'm sure that's compounded from other people. But I know it was there. When I look back, I know it was there.
Sound like he's very lucky right now, though, to have understanding parents.
Well, I think it's his right. I think it's everyone's right. And parents should be able to be proud of their children for the way they are, not whether they are gay or heterosexual.
Thank you for coming forward.
Connie, I have a somewhat complex and bothersome problem that I would like to present to you and ask your opinion on, perhaps your guidance. We have heard, in testimony elsewhere about special rights and special privileges, and even more about parents' rights. I'm wondering whether you believe that the rights of certain parents with a particular moral persuasion that leads to discrimination or harassment or violence against children such as your son, whether that should be allowed to be enacted in public policy and in institutions like our schools, or whether there is not another set of parents' rights which relate to people like yourself and your husband that need at least to be taken into consideration, if not given some greater sway in those discussions.
I don't believe we should have to tolerate parents who end up discriminating in some way against other people. If that is to say that parents need to stand up for their children as human beings, then that's what I think they should do.
Thank you. I'm very heartened to hear that. I would hope that part of our recommendations would encourage other institutions through our state to stand with you against those kinds of special parental privileges that are being forced on us by others. Thank you.
Connie, could I just ask you one other question, please? One of the things that's been suggested to us in other cities that we've been to is that people who deal with children, particularly teachers, should have some sort of anti-homophobia training just as part of their normal education. And we've been told by parents, for instance, about teachers who openly tell, say, fag jokes in class, which again send a negative message. And you alluded to the fact that your son got negative messages through school and that all the things that he was hearing were the things that he didn't want to be. What would your feeling be about something like that, that kind of recommendation?
That teachers
or other people who deal with children in the school system social workers or counselors have anti-homophobia training. Or
yeah, at least I believe everybody could benefit from that, definitely. Their parents shouldn't allow teachers to bring their prejudices into their classwork.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
At this time, I would like to take a 5-minute break, and when we resume, I'd like to know, Lou, whether or not your tape is working. Okay, great. Then we'll hear your tape first after the break, and then we'll go on to the rest of the people who are on the list. And so we'll resume in 5 minutes at 3 o'clock. There's one more here.